Imagine you're sitting on the bus on your way home from work. To pass the time, you take out your smartphone or computer notebook. You play a game. But instead of shooting angry birds or harvesting crops in Farmville, you choose a game that lets you blast imaginary cancer cells. Except they're not imaginary. They're from a real cancer patient, and the game you play may help save a life. That's the future, an interdisciplinary team of biologists, education researchers, and game designers is working on at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Strange Champs visited the Educational Game Lab at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery and got Professors Susan Millar, Kurt Squire, and one of their students to show her a game.
So oncology is this is a game prototype that's designed to give you, the player, the experience of being a doctor. So we'll pick a patient here. We'll pick Mr. Badger. And this is a patient who you start reading about their history and you realize that they're here because of carcinoma in their tongue. And the first thing that you do is you talk to the patient, get a little sense of their life history. In this case, we find out that he's smoked for 30 years and is attempting to quit, and that's probably going to be a part of what's happening.
I see he says grumble.
Yes, he says grumble. Yeah, he's not happy about having to quit smoking. And here what you're seeing is actual, authentic, this is an actual patient's CT scan that you're looking at here. This is a real thing that doctors would look at. We have some kind of hints and guides to help the new player who may never have looked at these before. When a physician looks at this, and they can kind of jump right in and start to know where the cancer is.
This is level one amateur.
Yeah. And what you do is, as you go down, you pick the different slices, and then you target where you think it would be. And then when you're done, you hit submit, and you get feedback. So you can see your accuracy. Actually, I had 0% accuracy, and I wasn't getting any healthy tissue. So I have to go back and try it again. Once it's kind of close enough, we let the person go into the next phase, which is where they set up the beams, and they actually treat the player.
And then once you've treated the player, does it say success, you've eradicated the tumor?
It's more complicated than that. It's like, how much of the healthy tissue did you harm that you shouldn't have? How much of the cancerous tissue did you actually get?
It can have a really strong emotional impact on the player, particularly if they've really trying to kind of save this player, and then they sometimes they realize no matter what they do, there's nothing they can do to save them. And we've had people worry, as they start kind of tearing up a bit, is this going to be too emotional? And we think that's a good thing. We think having people emotionally invested in their learning and really caring, because it really makes a difference in the world, we think that's really a good thing.
So unlike having your 15-year-old kid play hours of Call of Duty and become extremely good at killing people, in this case, your 15-year-old could play oncology and become incredibly good at targeting tumors.
Right, and in an ideal world, if they were participating in helping to identify a cancerous tumor for a real patient, and if we would get the medical people to provide information about the outcomes for those patients, that could be really powerful.
So explain this. You might actually, at some level, these wouldn't just be fictional patients.
They would be anonymized. The players would never know who the actual individuals were, but they would be able to know that there were successful treatments. Or, as Kurt was saying, maybe they wouldn't be so successful, in which case it is a little scary.
One of the issues is that there's actually a lot of variance right now in how different doctors read these images and then how they treat them. There's enough that it's a little scary, and I suggest anyone out there get a second and third and fourth opinion. But there's research findings based on this. Like, literally, well, they'll take five doctors, line them up, look at the same image, and they will treat it in five wildly different ways.
So explain again how this would work. How do you get the mythical 13-year-old kid who's playing this? At what point does that kid go from playing a fictional game to actually being able to help treat real patients?
So imagine they encounter this game first as a part of a health class where they're learning probably a couple things. One, some basic anatomy, so they're having to contour the parts of the body, and they learn both the names of the systems and then what they actually do. And then two, they could be learning about future careers in science. So many people may not know that there are huge career opportunities for technicians and so on, radiologists. And then third, they might say, if you're playing this and you play some at home and you get really good at it, there actually is an opportunity to work with real patients. And at that point, they would be playing the game, but there would also be an online community of different players, some of whom are medical professionals. And then at that point, it would largely probably be outside of class, although it's entirely possible a teacher could say, one way to get an A in this course is to actually get to become that level of,
So it's performance-based, definitely performance-based. You'd have to be able to perform largely at the level of the expert radiologists.
Can you imagine a day when a doctor who's treating a patient for cancer might get a scan and say, you know what, I'm not really sure of my reading on this. Let me see what the eighth grade class down the street thinks about this.
Yeah, we talk about getting a second opinion, a third opinion, a 2 millionth of opinion. So you could imagine them seeing, you know, here's someone who's rated maybe 500 images and has been rated to be a real expert, and they could go look at that person's experience. And we could even combine the expert's kind of second opinions of millions of people and then create an aggregate optimized sort of solution that is based on pulling all those different opinions together.
Is this eventually leading to crowdsourcing cancer treatment?
That's our dream. We believe that there's a lot of energy out in the public not being effectively used. Clay Shirky is calling it a cognitive surplus. But we believe that we can take that creative energy and harness it for all kinds of positive outcomes such as this one.
So now the other game we were going to look at is Virulent. What are we looking at here?
So this game gives the player a deep understanding of just kind of the way a virus infects a cell, the steps that it has to go through to reproduce itself, and kind of what it does while it's in the cell, and what actually constitutes an infection.
I think it's deeply engaging. I've watched a number of young people play it, and they actually get really identified with being a virus and get upset when they fail to infect the cell and to replicate themselves. And I particularly failed when I played it, because I couldn't even get into the cell at first. And then when I got into the cell, I got zapped by, what were those things called? The little
slicers. The slicers.
They beat me.
They sliced me.
You know, one thing, if you've ever tried to learn this in school, one of the real challenges is that you'll read a textbook definition, which you actually have here on the screen. You know, RNA genomes also need energy to make mRNA. And you read that, and these are all complicated words, like nouns you don't know, describing these verbs you don't know. And you might get a picture, whereas in this case, you actually get to do it. So you're getting language connected to what you're actually doing, which is the best way to learn. It's meaningful. It's in context. It relates to what they're trying to do.
Well, and I can see just from looking at this, you know, it's like some cool kind of space-based game. It sort of looks vaguely like we're in outer space and there are stars scattered
it's
around.
Inner space.
Inner space. And this thing that the mitochondria looks like some weird yellow docking station, and there's something else that looks like a purple asteroid. And so I can see suddenly I would have no trouble at all remembering what a mitochondria is.
Yeah, no, the big old yellow thing that I, yeah.
So what do the virologists think of this game?
Oh, the virologists love it. For them, there's a real joy in seeing the work that they do every day turned into a video game and put on screen. But then secondarily, they start to think about their own models that they have. And, you know, as they see it represented, they say, is that really how it happens? So you might have an immunologist and a virologist playing together and then having a discussion about what each one thinks happens. So if we can build something for them to have a conversation to move forward, then we know that we're doing a good job because we're pushing the boundaries of our understandings of these systems.
So you've got a game here that virologists and immunologists can sit around and argue about and say, no, that's not how it works. I think that, you know, RNA replicates this way. And at the same time, a 15-year-old kid might just think this is fun to play.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what we mean by authentic learning. If it's fun for the scientists, it should also be fun for other people. And because the way these games are leveled, the first time a player goes in as an amateur, they're going to see entirely different things and have entirely different challenges than the virologists who are going to see things in a completely different way.
One of my colleagues, Julian DeBell, says that, you know, mouse clicks are kind of the 21st century steam engine, right? So there are all these people who are playing games and identifying patterns, and it's kind of all going up into the ether. And if we could design games where people are, we're using those mouse clicks as ways to help use people's natural pattern recognizing ability or problem solving ability, and then use them as a way to further social good, we have a real opportunity for something transformative.
Susan Millar and Kurt Squires are education researchers and experts on game-based learning at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. If you want to see their games or find out how to play them yourself, check our website for links. It's ttbook.org.